SBS Radio.
I'm a Yamaji Nyunga man from Western Australia. I've only just found out recently that I have very strong ties with Nyunga people. My people were separated because of the colonial systems and the government when they broke up families in Western Australia. So my mother was stolen generations. I'm one of the lost generations. And my work speaks strongly of where I come from and the trials that we've had to live through since, with the loss of language and the loss of country and the loss of culture. But we're on a road to rebuilding all of these things. The exhibition's about that, my PhD is about that, and my artwork is about that. So it's all about recovery.
So I have to recall that we are meeting today at the Alliance Française in St Kilda, where a lot of your work is exhibited alongside other First Nations artwork. It's a special exhibition. Tell us more about this exhibition, because it comes at a very special time of the year.
It's come out a time after colonisation, but not far after it, the exhibition is. And it's really like thick in the air, the feeling about culture and the feeling about recovery. And there's also a very palpable feel of racism at the moment because of comments that are being made by both sides. I truly feel a deep sympathy for the colonists because of their lack of understanding and their lack of, I suppose it's just taking the blame. Even if you're not pointing the finger, you're saying this happened, but they won't recognise the fact that they are the biggest part of the problem. If they're going to celebrate the day, at least get it right. Celebrate on the day that you did arrive, you know, like not. And anyway, like the arrival was, it was just an onslaught of white people coming onto a land they declared terra nullius, but there were people waiting for them. So how could it be declared terra nullius? I was 10 years old before I became human. I was classified as flora and fauna up until I was 10 years old. I spent most of my life institutionalised trying to escape the racism and the trauma that was caused by the fact that they took my mother, and I went into an institution in Western Australia where my mother was, and I asked for documentation about my mother, and they said, "Oh no, you have to prove who you are." And I said, "Well, what do I need?" And they said, "Get a birth certificate." So I went and got a birth certificate, came back, and they said to me, a week later I came back, and they said to me, "Well, you can't just walk in and expect the documentation to be there." I said, "Well, you had a week's notice for the documentation. You didn't give my mother a week's notice before you came and took her. You took her without any notice. So, where's my documents?" And then they sent them to me, and they only sent me two little pieces of paper. And yet my mother was in there for over 10 years. And they said there were no records on my mother except for these two very small traces that were left in the institution. So I know my mother was there, but there's nothing about what happened to my mother. My mother told me she was beaten every day of her life in that institution because of the fact that she would deny them and she would speak language. And in the institutions, you weren't allowed to speak language. When I was 12 years old, I ended up in the same institution where my mother was, which is a place called Mount Lawley Reception Centre in Western Australia. I sent the families to Mount Lawley Reception Centre, as it says, it's a reception, and then they would split the families up and send them off to different institutions. Some of my people went to New Norcia, others to Moore River Settlement, others to Sister Kate's. So they were split up so that they couldn't speak their own language to each other. So we know that to break a race, the first thing you do is take away their language. Once you take their language, you take their access to culture, you take their access to memory, you take their access, especially when they don't have a written documentation. It's all by song, it's all by artwork, it's all by sand drawings. And it's a memory that's passed down generation after generation. So once you break that language, you've taken out a very vital link into our culture. So I think in every colonisation that the English did, the first thing they'd concentrate on would be language. So they could colonise a lot quicker when people didn't have their own religions, didn't have their own cultures, they didn't have access to it, they couldn't practice it, because the language was one of the biggest parts of it. So take that away, you take away the dance, you take away the artworks, the sand drawings and things like that, then you completely break a culture. But our people do have memory, and they are recovering, and they are beginning to practice their culture and speak their language so that they are given more access to that culture.
And then language is a very, very important component. You said just losing their culture, so losing connection to country, because names of places are reflected in the language, and even place names have got a very strong significance for people. Yes. Because you don't just name a place. In cultures, people name a place according to their history, the people who live there, events that happen there. So losing the culture and the language, losing the language is a huge loss for any community.
Yeah, well, Ben Oakley explains it really well in Infinite Riches, where he says that they changed the name of the place where I slept and then it was gone, because they were changing the names of places that were older than the names themselves. So once you change the name of something, it actually disappears. And that's one of the biggest problems with our languages and our culture, is the memory of country. And you have to walk country, and your country has to welcome you. You can't just walk on country and expect to know it. It will give you answers as long as you respect it and you take your time and let the land speak to you. And once that relationship is rebuilt, the country tends to open up and reveal more and more as each time you visit, and it shows you things. And it teaches you things in the ways that no educational resource or no white, at the, again, sounding a little bit racist, no white teachings could actually speak to you the way that your country speaks to you. The land, as in this exhibition, has a tongue. And it will teach you if you're willing to listen, and if you take your time and treat it with respect.
And coming back to the exhibition that is being held here at the Alliance Française, one of the themes they're exploring is also paying tribute to the Year of the Indigenous Languages. And you're exhibiting alongside many First Nations artists from around Melbourne and yourself from the other side, the West Coast. Not the dark side, it's the West Coast, a nice place, Noongar country there. And we've got First Nations from Canada as well here. Yeah. So it's a really a bring together many, many cultures. Just tell us about how those blends in together.
I think all First Nations people have that affinity with each other and with their countries and their... we're all on a journey of recovery. We're all on a journey of discovery. And by coming together and talking through our artworks about events in history, events in our lifetime, and also, you know, like, not just all dark, there's a lot of light as well, because you can see a light in the distance and one day we'll reach it. Lynn Onus said that maybe in 200 years, we have another 200 years of hard work ahead of us before we could actually recover from the damage that's been done. So I think I agree, but, you know, these things, they may be small, but they're all bits in the puzzle that are actually sort of just saying, you know, we're coming back. We are reclaiming. And whether you like it or not, whether any person likes it or not, we're on a journey of recovery and we'll get there. We've withstood colonial onslaught in this country and we shall recover and we shall reclaim. And there is a place for our enemy there, but not under their terms and conditions. It will be under our terms and conditions. But we're a welcoming people. The English just stayed too long. They're like a one of those relatives that you can't get rid of. Someone comes to stay for a week and they end up staying 6 months or a year or a lifetime. But there is a place. We're not a vengeful people, I don't think. I don't think anyone's after revenge in the way that the English language explains revenge. I think our people would prefer to live side by side, but it has to work both ways. It can't be all one way.
That's what I hear most of the time. People just want just a recognition of the wrongs done as a first step. Truth-telling is something that comes up all the time, just truth-telling. And yes, that's a big step that many don't want to take, but I think if that step was taken, there wouldn't be so much chatter about us and them. There would be more of a reconciliation.
Yeah, it'd be more about we.
More we, not us and them. Yeah. Now, Brian, I've taken much of your time. I know you're the most demanded person here. I've taken you away from the whole crowd. They all want a piece of you. So before I let you go, just a word to put out there to the community, to our listeners.
Always was, always will be.
Hear more stories in your language by visiting sbs.com.au.